Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, September 1st, 2017, and we're just 3 weeks from the end of summer. Where did it go? It's hard to believe, especially when it's 105 outside still. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is right at this very hour winging his way back from a week-long vacation in beautiful Canada. You can check out some great photos from his trip on his Facebook page. We have Tom Fairbanks running the show from inside the control booth. Hello, Tom.
And that's a good place to put him.
he needs to be there. We don't need glass. We need bars.
On the other side of the glass.
There we go. The show is live Monday through Friday at noon here on KVOI 10:30 a.m. And we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. The Friday show also re-airs on Saturday at 7 a.m. So you can find archives of, you can also find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. On Fridays, Bill likes to acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners. They are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Southern Arizona News Examiner, TucsonLifestyle.com, and the Three Sonorans. In today's Friday Focus interview, we are talking to Drew Sanchez. She is the new publisher of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. If you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Drew Sanchez, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Joining us is Dylan Smith. He is the CEO and founder and president and everything.
Yeah, something.
Of TucsonSentinel.com and probably its only employee. I don't know.
Yeah, we've got a few.
Okay, good.
Actually, I don't employ myself. Because I can hardly ever get paid. I got to pay other people first.
There you go. TucsonSentinel.com. Check it out. He does some really good work. First of all, let's just get this out of the way. Drew's my boss.
That's why I'm here.
to ask the tough questions. Yeah. But no, I told her no softball questions here. So you're a month into the job. You're still showing up every morning. Very encouraging to the staff. Thank you for doing that. But she hasn't moved to the community yet, but she is going to. And that is also exciting for us. So, Drew, literally, you've been on the job exactly a month, and you have a very interesting resume. Just kind of give us a brief overview.
So I started at the largest newspaper, the Los Angeles Times, in 1987 as a clerk, actually, and grew both personally and professionally there at the newspaper, and ended up leaving in 2008 as a senior manager in sales. I moved through the operations department and advertising department. Was there for 21 years.
Okay.
And then I left there and ended up going to work for Lee and Gannett, and ended up at the Tucson newspaper, Arizona Daily Star, and then from there down to Green Valley this year.
And the Star is owned by Lee Enterprises, and the Gannett was the owner of the Tucson Citizen, which Dylan used to work for. Is that
indeed
right?
And Gannett still has a 50% interest in the publishing operation.
It's the JOA.
That's mm-hmm. right. And they also, the Gannett also owns the Arizona Republic, from whence I came. So what I like about you, Drew, is that you have that large newspaper experience, the mid-level, if you count the Stars, the mid-level, and now the small paper. And I know you've only been with us a month, but notice any differences in those markets as far as how you approach them from a business standpoint, and now as a publisher, as a community leader?
Absolutely. You know, you take a look at the Los Angeles Times, they're serving millions of people. You know, they're trying to be something for everybody. You get into the Tucson newspaper, and the population is much smaller, but they're still trying to be something for everybody. And then you get into Green Valley, and you, Dan, really know your community. You know what the people of the community are looking for, and you produce a paper every day twice a week, three times a week with Sahuarita, that meets the needs of the community. So it definitely drives more of a community focus the smaller the paper gets.
Right, and if you do not know your audience and what they want, and you're not out there and visible, then you're going to lose them.
Absolutely.
And it is really like a relationship. And I tell people that our paper is the town square. This is where we hash out things. I also tell people, if you live 5 feet outside of Green Valley or Sahuarita, you probably don't care much what's going on in our paper.
Absolutely.
And so it's an important community voice. And as papers, Dylan, I want you to address this, papers like the Star have had to contract and really pull back from certain areas, and I certainly saw it at the Arizona Republic when I was there. The community papers are really growing in importance in those individual communities.
I would actually quibble with people not being interested in the work that you guys do. And, you know, I live considerably north, and I check you out all the time because you are, kicking butt and taking names on a lot of stories that have wider interest. Border enforcement stories, the work that you guys did about that wildfire. I mean, you've done some stuff that has impact beyond those town limits, most definitely.
Right, and we are part of a group that has about a dozen newspapers in southern Arizona, and we've also seen newspapers, for good or for bad, for us it's been a necessity, but back off on our being subscribers to the Associated Press, who do a terrific job, but not for our community.
Correct.
So, Drew, one of the questions I get from people in our community really is, what's the role of a publisher? What does a publisher do?
Well, I think the publisher is just one that helps coordinate all of the functions within the building to make sure that we are producing the best news and information for our readers in the community. It takes, a village of everybody inside the building to make it happen. I just oversee to make sure that we're doing the things the quickest, fastest, brightest, most efficient way to get the story and the content out for our readers and subscribers.
Right. And you, when we talk about publishers, those of us in the newsroom, always the first question is, okay, did she come up on the business side or on the news side? And we're always glad when they came up on the business side for two reasons. One, you know how to make money. And we don't. We're not very good at that. and I don't even want to worry about it. And number two, it means that you're not going to bother us in the newsroom, quite honestly. However, I do appreciate Rebecca Bradner, who is our outgoing publisher, who's retiring and moving on to other things. Actually, she was, she'd come in, sit in front of me and say, did you ever think about this? And the fact that she read the paper, was involved in the community, cared about the community, is huge. That is a big part of it for you to get out into the community. And I know it's only been a month, but what are you seeing so far?
I have been very fortunate to be out in the community, meeting the leaders of the voices out there in Green Valley and Cerritos area. I have met the mayor down there. I've met a lot of people that are part of the nonprofit organizations, the communities. The thing that impresses me most about Green Valley is how many volunteers there are. People really want to jump in and help the community and help people that are underprivileged, all the way up to people that just need a small little helping here and there. It's so impressive to me.
And it's such a diverse community in lots of ways, not ethnically. Let's just go there.
Right.
95% of the community is white. But in life experience, as far as the age goes, socioeconomically, huge. I tell people you can buy a home in Green Valley for $40,000 or $1.5 million. We've got it.
Okay.
And so, and all those people do come together. But the community does, I think you touched on really the most important thing. It rises and falls on its volunteer efforts.
Mm-hmm.
It's just monstrous. And you've been out there to have a chance to take a look at it. The industry really has been kind of turned on its ear by the internet the last 20 years, and everyone's trying to figure out that magic, answer to.
Sauce.
Yeah, exactly. And you had mentioned earlier, we print twice a week in Green Valley, once in Sarita, but we're 24/7 on the web. This is how Dylan is doing everything, is on the web. But how do we make it work on the web financially? And that's what everyone's trying to figure out. What are some of the strategies that have worked, have not worked? How do we get people's attention on the web when there's so much else on there?
That's an interesting question, and one that's not easily answered by anybody at this point. The internet is changing every minute of every hour of every day. Things are popping up all over. I just think it's really important that we're giving stories and content, maybe like content marketing out there. People want to hear more about products and services rather than be pushing an offer at all times. you know, 51% of the millennials want to read a story about a product or service. They don't want to be told it's buy one, get one free. They want to learn more about products and services. So I think the more we get into that kind of content-driven advertising versus offerings, I also think we need to be creative. We need to be reaching people on the products and services that they're using, like mobile. I mean, mobile is just such a huge portion of what is going up digitally today. And, you know, in this marketplace and as in Tucson, 67% of the people are using their mobile devices to get news and information. It's very simple to do it from their phones. So I just think that we need to continue to remember who the audience is and how they're wanting to receive their news and information. And we down in Green Valley, as you know, we have a Green Valley audience and we have the Sarita Sun audience, which are two very diverse audiences. And so, you know, we need to focus on the audience that's really very internet driven and internet savvy. Although I tell you, the Silver Surfers are the ones that are becoming the fastest growing demographic on the internet. So, you know, it's coming up on both sides.
Silver Surfers.
You know, it's
I love it.
Certainly the internet has had an impact on the news industry. That's not, you know, you can't deny that. And it hasn't been great for newspapers. But newspaper readership was at its highest point in the 1970s. You know, throughout all of our careers in the news business, no matter how long and vaunted those may have been, Dan, you know, you missed the high point of newspapers. That came before.
That's
so,
true.
So this whole time, the percentage of people who read a newspaper has been declining. And, you know, now it's certainly fallen off a cliff. I don't know when it finally hits the complete tipping point, but it seems like we're getting very close.
Yeah, and, you know, I talk to people a lot who are reading us online, and it is a reminder that your print circulation number cannot be define what your reach is, because you're reaching far, far, far more people because of the online number. So I like to tell people that, you know, more people than ever are reading us. It's just how they're reading us.
And it's so much easier to get something online, much more affordable. You don't have to, you know, buy a dead tree and buy some ink and have a press and truck that thing around and all, you know, all that the crazy logistics that go into printing and distributing a newspaper are nuts.
Yeah, but we're still making money there, man. For now, so don't trash it. And Dylan will not be joining us for the second half of this interview. Okay. Well, you are listening to the Buckmaster Show in our Friday Focus interview with Drew Sanchez. She is the publisher of the Green Valley News and the Sarita Sun. We will be right back.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season this Saturday, September 2nd, with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets and learn more about bringing home your own Gronk bobblehead, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12. Come out and support our Wildcats and bear down.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill. We are talking to publisher Drew Sanchez of the Green Valley News and the Saurita Sun. We are joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. And Drew, I want to go back and revisit something you mentioned earlier. You're talking about what I guess in the industry is known as native advertising. Stop me if I sound like I know what I'm talking about. But you're saying people don't want just the two-for-one offers. They want to know about the product. How have newspapers addressed that desire?
Most of them do it digitally, right? So they write stories and content about, let's say you're a hair replacement and you can have testimonials in your story content. You can have, you know, pros and cons, and you can list far more information in the native advertising piece than you can in a printed paper, and then those pieces can be shared. So I may not have a receding hairline issue, but maybe other people have it, and I can share and forward that. We're clipping out newspaper clippings and mail, right? Snail mail is just so long gone now. So much of this can be speedier, communicating and transitioning of information from one to another through the internet. So, you know, those are all the perks of the internet.
But no people doubt. People still like coupons.
Yes, they do. But they also get them digitally. I personally get them digitally to my phone, so I don't clip out any coupons anymore. I get them on my phone.
Of course, the eternal problem with that kind of advertorial, and it's, you know, not new with sponsored content online, but is, you know, people being confused as to whether it's news or something that's actually been bought and paid for.
Yeah, there's a two-hour conversation for you. We're actually going to have
and,
a group.
And it's, you know, it just comes down to, you know, clearly labeling it so that people can have the opportunity to notice it. And then you hope that this person that you got some money from to write a glowing story doesn't go and get arrested the next week.
Yeah, and the newsroom does not write those glowing stories. We need to make sure that we have that delineation here. So we're talking a little bit about digital, but let's go back to print, because the print penetration in Green Valley is huge. I have never seen anything like this ever. So roughly 75% of the occupied homes get the paper delivered to their doorstep. That is an absolutely incredible number, Drew.
It is an incredible number. Even in past papers that I've been at, 60% was a high number. Even up to 67% was what we perceived as a high number. When you come to Green Valley, though, the reader, obviously the average reader typically of a newspaper is around 45 years old. So when you come to Green Valley, you have a much higher average reader age there. And I just think it's the prime source for news and information for the aging population is the printed paper, and that's why I believe Green Valley does so well.
Right, and that circulation is, that's paid circulation.
Paid circulation.
So you know they're reading it because they want it.
Correct.
So that's an interesting
number. You guys aren't doing just a toss it in every driveway kind of publication.
No. Green Valley.
No, not in Green Valley. That's why that number is just so incredible. In Sahuarita, almost every doorstep gets the Sahuarita Sun.
It's a TMC.
Yeah, total market coverage, which means everyone gets it. But I've been involved in several TMCs before that have backfired because the products are garbage. And people say, get this off my driveway. When we launched that one about 3.5 years ago, it was, we had an incredible feedback.
Well, you guys are still putting real news in that one.
Well, and with diminished resources, it's real hard. People are putting a lot of canned stuff in there. And frankly, it's like, why do I want this? I can get it on the internet at better and quicker and not going to get my fingers dirty. So let's move on to plans for the future. And just today, our sister paper in Sierra Vista launched what we are calling the Tall Tab. Think of a tabloid size newspaper and then just a little bit longer, a few inches deeper. And it's a new venture for them, and hopefully it's going to be a successful one. We went to a tab size for Sarita a few years ago because that younger market liked that magazine-ish type feel, lots of color and whatever. So we are trying different things, and could we be doing this in the future and locally?
Well, of course, we're going to take a look at it on the business side, see if it makes business sense for us to move in that direction. I like the idea. I think that the paper, I don't know if you all remember, but it was 54 inches wide one time. I even think it was 60 inches wide one time. And I mean, you would just knock somebody out next to you when you were trying to read it.
It's like a sheet.
And it keeps getting narrower and narrower.
Look at one, you know, some scene of somebody reading a paper in a movie from 50 years ago. It looks like a bed sheet.
Yes.
Right. They're enormous.
Right, right. So, I mean, we just, as an industry, we continue to reduce the size of it, of course, for cost reasons as well, right? I mean, newsprint continues to rise. But I like this long tab. I like the thoughts behind it. I liked the look and feel of it. I'm very interested to see, you know, get some feedback from Sierra Vista and see if it makes a lot of business sense for us. I do see that we've had some interest. Didn't we have a focus group?
We did. Before you arrived, we had a focus group in Green Valley because that was the one we were most concerned about. And initially, because it's changed, there was a little bit of reluctance to kind of get on board. Then we explained it, showed it. They said, we actually like it, you know, and it came down to simple things like, if I'm outside reading the paper and the wind is blowing, a tall tab is going to be a lot easier to control than a big newspaper. And for some people, it comes down to those simple things. Normally, those tabs were in place because of reading the newspaper on a subway or someplace where you needed it more compact, and it just made much more sense. But for them, they're saying, the number one question is, okay, the paper would get a little shorter, but is it going, are you going to have less news in there? And the answer is no.
No.
There will not be less news in there. And once we made that promise to them, which was always the case, then they were okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So old people can change. I guess that's the message. But we'll see if we ever decide to go that route. We'll actually see what happens. So, and then briefly, I want to more clearly answer this role of the publisher question, because as you mentioned, we have newsroom circulation, advertising, production. I oversee the newsroom, but the publisher oversees everything and just makes sure all the gears are turning and are greased.
That all the parts are moving together in the right direction.
Exactly. And then we're part of a bigger company that owns roughly 25, 30 newspapers across the country. So we're rolling and doing well. Drew, you currently have quite a drive to work.
45 minutes every day.
There we go. You going to move down near us?
I am, actually. I should be in the Green Valley, Sarita area somewhere in the latter part of November. Anxious to be moving in the community and even get more involved in the weekend events and the events during the evening hours that right now, while I could do it, they're just the long drive prevents me from doing it all. So.
Exactly. Well, we're looking forward to having you down. Being in the community is so key. When I went down there as editor, good grief, almost 9 years ago now, did not even consider living anywhere other than in the community.
Well, you have to live in the community to support the community. And you know, I want to be a big supporter of the community, and I want the newspaper that we work for to also be a big supporter. And with you there, I think it's been very, very supportive and providing the news and information that the readers are looking for.
Well, it sends a message. You are invested in the community. You own a home there. You've sent your kids to the school there. It's it's a big deal. For you to pull up stakes and move on down is a big deal, and we'll send a very positive message to the community. On the way down, you and I were discussing that the Tucson market actually is important to us from an advertising point of view, because so many of the residents in Sarita work here. So if you live in Sarita and you are in the workforce, two-thirds of them are working in Tucson. Tucson's an important market to us.
It was just an astronomical number, but I guess, you know, most of the larger businesses and organizations are in Tucson, so you would have to commute up to Tucson to do that. Yes, and I think that we need to be doing a better job providing some Tucson opportunities to those particular commuters so that they understand that there are places up there to shop. But I don't want to have anybody forget that when they shop local, their local tax dollars are staying within the community as well. And I think that's as important as it is for us to get the Tucson opportunities out there.
Okay, very good. That is going to wrap it up for us for our Friday Focus interview. Our thanks to Drew Sanchez for joining us. You can reach her, by the way, by email at dsanchez@gvnews.com. When we return, we're going to be joined in studio by a couple of journalists to talk about the week's big stories, including Dylan Smith. We hope that you will stick around.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster, the Buckmaster Show, featuring Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. Always on BuckmasterShow.com for all of our podcasts. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is time for our Friday roundtable. We're joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, who was here for the earlier segment with my boss. What'd you think, Dylan?
You know, you handled that pretty well. It's an interesting situation, doing a live public interview with one's boss. Well done, and she did a pretty good job, too. So
she did, and as she walked out the door, she said, remember, your review is on Tuesday, so I guess I get Monday off this year. Okay, we're also joined by Joe Ferguson. He's of the Arizona Daily Star. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we had an election on Tuesday. I don't know how many people really noticed, because the voters didn't really turn out in droves for it. Can you give us a little recap as a Tucson City Council primary?
There were two races, one in Ward 3 to replace Karen Ulick as the Democratic nominee, and we had a Green Party race in Ward 6. So we had a bit of a nail-biter from 8 o'clock to 8:02, where we didn't know who the winner was.
Yeah.
And so we found that a Dem Party alum, a former staffer for Nina Traceoff, has a nomination, Paul Durham.
Okay.
Former county party treasurer. And, you know, somebody who certainly has a long time building connections in the local party, although it was a fairly close race, given how these things go. More attention than we've seen in, many other elections, like ones where people don't even have an opponent.
Well, that happened in Ward 5 this year.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And so the council will remain all Democratic. Is that accurate?
Well,
no, actually. There are going to be some contested races in November.
Good.
Right. So
there's a Republican running against Steve Kozacik, and there will be an independent, somebody who tried to run as a Republican, but the County Republican Party told him to go take a flying leap, and they weren't going to support him. Huh. He'll be on the ballot in Ward 3.
Okay. Well, very good.
We still have an election, sort of.
Three things on the ballot.
Okay.
Yep.
So it goes beyond just people. And knowing Bill Buckmaster, he'll have these folks on the radio between now and Election Day.
There will also be a Green Party candidate on the ballot in November, too.
Okay. And that was actually one of the contested races that Joe just mentioned. So, Joe, you look a lot into the campaign donations and whatnot. And I guess I didn't think that we'd be talking about this over a year out from the 2018 elections. But President Trump's impact really is already being felt in terms of campaign donations. Are we talking about this sooner than we really should be? Are we seeing something in the donations that kind of are raising your eyebrow?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of big name groups get into the race early. They're campaigning against Trump, even if they're not necessarily campaigning for a certain candidate. So we see ad buys against Martha McSally and Jeff Flake already, and it's over a year out before the election. And they're just targeting them as Republicans, not necessarily propping up a certain candidate. I don't even believe we have a large name running against Flake yet in the Democratic Party. I think Kristen Sinema is still thinking about it. She's thinking about it.
Kristen Sinema, yeah, we'll see.
She's taking the long public time to ponder it. But she's running.
Seeing which way the wind blows here. We mentioned, we were talking a little bit off the air about Congressional District 2. We have, of course, it's Martha McSally, and it's a fairly evenly split district. It's going to be tough. She's had a real tough race there. Last year, she did not have it really tough. She had a fairly weak opponent who also is in this year's, but Ann Kirkpatrick is jumping in. Are the Democrats interested in this?
They're very interested in it. There were rumors of, you know, upwards of 20 candidates earlier in the year that wanted to run against Martha McSally. Now we have several very strong candidates and pledges from the DCCC that could be upwards of six figures to put into the race.
Okay, and she generally has no problem raising money, but she's going to need it this time around, it would appear.
There's only so much you can do with, you know, millions of dollars. You can buy out ad space in Tucson and the CD2 area. I don't know what you do, you know, once you've bought every commercial you can.
Right? Yard signs. More and more yard signs.
Well, and then she's politely ignore that. You know what? Trump is going to be a big impact on this election too. I mean, and of course, talking a year out about him, anything can happen because
literally in the city council race, Trump is brought up as an evil kind of boogeyman for various issues. So people running, just wanting to do stuff in Tucson, are talking about Trump. So he's the specter in almost any race you want to talk about in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, so we'll be hearing a lot more about that over the next year and a half, roughly, as we drive toward Election Day 2018. And like I said, I never thought we'd be talking about it this early, but it is interesting for those of us who are kind of wonks in that area. Dylan, let's change gears here a little bit. There is a U.S. Marine veteran who's about to be deported to Mexico. It's on your website. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, it's a story we reported a week ago, well, published a week ago, after doing reporting work, investigating, interviewing for really a couple of months to get all of this nailed down. And it's actually somewhat common for veterans to be deported if somebody is not a citizen and they end up being convicted of serious enough crimes. They quite often get kicked out of the country after they served out their sentence. The wrinkle in this case is this is somebody who, for much of his life, thought he wasn't a U.S. citizen, but it turns out he's got very good evidence, very good claim to actually having been a U.S. citizen since birth. And at one of his deportation hearings a few years ago, a federal judge agreed with that and said, yeah, he's a citizen. So here we have still the government trying to take a Marine veteran who served in the Gulf War and, you know, got himself in trouble with the law several times. And in one of those, in his most recent case, he was sentenced for two counts of aggravated assault. He said he was having a PTSD episode, and he actually fired his rifle through his front door at a couple of police officers. So somebody who's made some mistakes, had a serious drug problem, but seemingly somebody who is a citizen, has always been a citizen, and we're not supposed to be deporting citizens. So it's generating quite a bit of controversy. It's getting, right. This story's getting picked up all over the world now.
Right, and that's really the dispute there, is if he is a legal U.S. citizen and you say he has proof or a good argument, and I don't know what the difference between those two is, why are we even talking about this?
Because there's the DHS is still trying to deport him. He's up in a detention facility right now with another deportation hearing pending. In his last deportation hearing, the judge said, no, you've got proof you're a citizen. You know, your grandfather was born in the United States, lived most of his life in the United States, and thus tracing through, he has derivative citizenship. But the government appealed that, and then it was stayed because he got sentenced to prison again. And now they're trying to pick that appeal back up and kick him out of the country.
And what also might be news to some people here is that, yes, we do have people who are not full-fledged U.S. citizens serving in our military. How does that happen?
It's fairly common. There's no requirement that you be a U.S. citizen to serve in the armed forces. There is a somewhat of a easier path to citizenship for people who have a green card or some other form of legal residency. Their ability to become a citizen because of their service is a little bit easier. But here's somebody who, for the entire time that he was in the Marines, wasn't quite sure of his status and couldn't get that cleared up. And it was only because of these deportation hearings that his legal troubles that got him in trouble with immigration authorities as well, and has been pretty tangled up for about a decade now.
About a decade. That is a long time to kind of be in limbo. So TucsonSentinel.com, if you want to follow this story, I'm sure you're going to have updates and a lot more.
Yeah, we're waiting for some movement in that case. It's one of those things that, the various alphabet soup, border enforcement and immigration right. agencies, as you guys well know, don't like to comment on things at all. And especially when it comes to deportation hearings, they say that there are privacy issues. Even though they're trying to press a legal case in court, they won't talk about it.
Right. Well, let's talk about something along those lines. What happened to Aravaca on July 31st? There was an apparent break-in into a man's home. It's probably a little after 7 o'clock. He'd gone to bed quite early. Vietnam War veteran, had some medical issues. Someone breaks into the home. He hears it. He gets up. One report says he heard voices, which of course would indicate there are more than one person there. And he is face to face with what turns out to be an illegal immigrant. And the immigrant runs out the door, and the man chases him and fires into the dark at least 60 yards and paralyzes the immigrant. So, as the lawyer put it to us, the immigrant ran into a bullet, which is an interesting wording. We talked to lawyers on both sides, and you just report the news here. So we've talked to people on both sides of this, and this is a very interesting case because he clearly appeared to be burglarizing the home. Was the man defending his home, or was the immigrant no longer a threat?
And that's pretty much the crux of the legal issue here. You can't just go around randomly shooting people because you're scared. You need to have, legally much more of a reason to use lethal force against someone.
Right, but then let's go back to more than one voice in the home. Did he think that there was somebody else out there? Was there somebody else out there? Did he feel like he was still threatened? Well, initially, the sheriff's department told us, we're done with the investigation and there's no arrest, and we're not going to hold the guy accountable for this burglary. The man, by the way, was taken to a Tucson hospital then because he could not afford care, couldn't afford an operation. He's paralyzed from the waist down. Friends came up from Mexico, got him. He now is in Mexico. He's never going to really face the music for that burglary, but a thorough investigation, which they are now launching, will speak to maybe some more of the facts of that case and maybe what the homeowner was thinking when he shot the gun.
So, was there actually a burglary? Was this person trying to break into the house, or was he rooting around on the porch?
No, he was in the house.
He was in the house?
He was in the house.
That's been unclear from at least what we've been able to get from authorities.
He was in the house, and then when he, later on, they found the man's car keys and house keys on the immigrant, and the truck keys had actually been in the truck, so he'd been in his truck, and then he was actually in the house. They came face to face in like the living room or something. So, he was in there. Lots of ins and outs here, but again, it comes down to what lengths do you go to protect your property, and was this out of bounds?
Yeah,
and this is going to be an interesting one to see as it plays out. So, Joe, you, the Arizona Daily Star, speaking of the border, has a big package coming up on Sunday. Can you give us a little preview about that?
Yeah, we've been covering the border, and we've had these series in the past. But now the twist is that we're looking at the tough talk that Donald Trump campaigned on, promised at these rallies, keeps talking about now, and whether anything has changed since he's taken office.
And whether those changes can be attributed to anything he's done.
Correct.
Okay, so play devil's advocate here. Is 6 months a little short amount of time to expect something to actually have happened by now?
Nobody twisted that man's arm to say that he was going to do things on day one. That was all him. That was saying he was going to take a big change as soon as he took office. It was one of his top priorities, he said, and so we're taking a look. 6 months later, not so much.
Okay, just holding him to his word then. Okay, so that is on Sunday in the Arizona Daily Star, and you've been promoting it, in at least in the print edition I've been reading, and very much looking forward to that.
Well, readers can get a sneak peek. Most of it is live on our website today, but if you are a parent subscriber or just like to read it with your fingers, buy one, buy two.
Very good. And really, maybe you shouldn't have told people to get it online already. I don't know. You know?
They already know.
They do. Anyway, it sounds like it's going to be some good reading.
Oh, so. It's some of the best work.
Very good. Well, good work. I'm sure you had a whole team on that one.
18.
Good. This week we found out that the Trump border wall prototypes are being constructed, I guess, in the next month. So if you want to build the wall, you have 30 days to show us what it's going to look like, what's going to be made out, how it's going to keep people on the other side of the wall in Mexico. A Tempe company is one of the contractors in all of this. Dylan, did you think we'd get this far to be prototyping this?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's been a fairly smooth process, you know, as far as going through tossing out some of the, you know, the wackier ideas and the completely political suggestions to get down to maybe some companies with some, you know, whether you agree with whether we should be building the wall or not, some realistic thoughts on how that might be done. So the feds picked four companies, including one from Arizona, and they'll be building some very small scale prototypes, I guess, near the border, next to the border, in San Diego, as kind of a quick demonstration. But they're going to be so small scale that it's kind of hard to conceive of them as being, why are they? It's mostly a publicity stunt, really. I mean, when it comes
to show that it's actually going forward.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could do this in a parking lot in Oklahoma if you wanted to. As far as here's what we think the wall should look like. There's no need to do it right down, you know, in San Diego, where you can have people taking photos of it and that kind of thing. That part is, you know, purely publicity.
It'll certainly spur some discussion. I have to go back to the Janet Napolitano quote of years ago, show me a 50-foot wall, I'll show you a 51-foot ladder. And we'll see if that actually comes out, what people's reaction is when they actually see what these walls could look like.
Just look at what we keep seeing, new, sometimes amusing, sometimes very creative methods of getting drugs across the border. You know, actually moving people is can be a little bit more difficult. But if you're just trying to get some heroin or meth, it's not going to be too much longer before we're going to see tons and tons of drones flying those things along, because that technology is advancing so quickly.
Catapults.
We're going to move on from catapults. Right now, you know, we see catapults all over the place, with whether they're actually, you know, attached to the wall and using the wall itself as the fulcrum. Or, you know, things on trailers, air cannons, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and we actually have seen one drone already. So you're right. That's we'll just see how this plays out. Joe, just briefly, I know CD2 is one to watch for next year. Anything else cropping up that's could be real interesting as far as races?
I really think you got to keep an eye on the Senate race, whether it's to replace John McCain down the road or Jeff Flake. There's a lot of activity in terms of the Senate race, and Flake's going to see challenges on both sides.
Okay, that is going to wrap it up for our Friday roundtable this week. My thanks to Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Thank you both for joining me.
Absolutely.
Happy to be here.
When we return, Matt Russell is going to help us plan our long Labor Day weekend. We will be right back.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
And it's now time for the Weekend Watch. The best way to plan your next couple of days, this portion of the Buckmaster Show, is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do, great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Welcome, Matt Russell.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing terrific, and Bill's on his way back from vacation, so everything will be normal next week. Or relatively
It's lovely to be among the abnormal. Thank you so much.
Very good. Well, you'll still be here. I won't. So, you have got some great picks for us for this weekend, weekend.
I do. You know, it wouldn't be Weekend Watch without an informed happy hour recommendation, Dan. So today it's all about Bear Down Friday in Main Gate Square, the official pep assembly before tomorrow's football home opener. We're going to have U of A cheerleaders, the pep band, Wilbur and Wilma, for fun and frolic all up and down University Boulevard starting at 5 p.m. today. Now, while there are a number of Main Gate merchants that are going to be celebrating happy hour, my pick is no anchovies, but with discounts on drinks and snacks and pizzas. And though I always order my pizza with anchovies, I guess I'll make an exception today. Bear down, Dan.
Excellent. 5 p.m. today it all begins. Let's jump over to the salsa.
Yeah, you know, few things define Southern Arizona's culinary and cocktail experience better than salsa, tequila, and tacos. three of the basic food groups, of course. They're all going to be celebrated this Sunday night at 7 at the Salsa Tequila and Taco Challenge at La Encantada. You'll have the opportunity to sample some of the very best that our local chefs and mixologists have to offer, including a tequila-infused popsicle and kimchi salsa, Dan. It's only $55. You can vote for your favorite in all categories. It's going to be a great party.
A tequila popsicle, is that legal?
As far as you know, Dan.
Oh, a little bit of heritage and culture here now.
Indeed. Nearly 20 purveyors of local foods and beverages are all going to be convening at the Hacienda del Sol on Sunday night at 6 for the first annual Heritage Foods Festival. Now, in addition to a gourmet buffet dinner prepared by the Hacienda's team featuring local ingredients, of course, you'll get tastings of local wines and spirits and beers. There's going to be a farmer's market there, tours of the Hacienda's garden, live local music, even a panel discussion about heritage foods. Tickets for this hyper-local event are $55, and as always, the Hacienda will make for a beautiful backdrop for what I think will be a memorable evening.
Well, what a deal. It's a long weekend, but a packed weekend. Hey, Inside Tucson Business, what are you writing about this week?
Yeah, check it out, Dan. There's a guy in town who randomly stumbled across his mother's secret recipe for Maltese pastries, and this discovery literally changed the course of his career. They're called pastizzi, and you can read my tasty tale in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Excellent. Matt Russell, thank you very much. Always interesting and informative. Thank you.
Cheers, Dan.
You have a great weekend yourself. Hey, don't forget our friend Charles Heller. He is the host of Liberty Watch at 11 a.m. on Sunday. His guest is going to be Martha Bonetta. She's the Executive Vice President of Citizens for the Republic. She's going to be joining him at 11 o'clock. And at noon, Charles is going to be asking the question, can a state lawfully secede from the Union according to the Constitution? That is Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free. Right after Swap Shop at 10 a.m. on KBOI, The Voice. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. A big thanks to our team here at KBOI, including producer-engineer Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Ed Alexander. I always trip up on him. Along with production supervisor Jerry Cross, station owners Doug and Mary Martin, and Buckmaster Show executive assistant Rosemary Brandt. I am Dan Shear wishing you a safe Labor Day weekend.